Fast mai, as bevaili am curfal cherry you dus a clash your shack lair. Mish Marilyn Crellin. I'm Marilyn Crellin. This programme is called Shack Lair, and you're all very welcome. In the programme this week, on Shack Lair and Shack and Shaw, your Ella Ennison, we open the pages of another book, following the recent launch by Culture Vannen of a translation from the Norwegian by Dr. Jennifer Curley Draskow. As Dunya heard Inzit as Kruach, a Bengali polymath, poet and musician, Rabindranath Tagore, some of his work in the Manx language. Once Noihi Jeg Tree Feeders Noijeg, Rentin Vale, Erdalia Jay and Vilja Blina Egger, Tauzen Blina Neris High and Hid Thing Ekumel Uns Manen. Haram on a feinish egavun jay, as Doliad and Auris, Lurish Grey, Darawa Jinu Erdalia Jay, Tauzen Blina Egger Hood Slew, Erin Orr, Darawn a Lochlany, Aveyuns Manen, Vi Mushin Vlain Hock Keed. Corley Shores Broderick, de Ginnichad Erd Aelia, J. Noichid Blina, Neris Henk Gorry, Croven, Unsevlain, Tauzen, Tree Feeders, Noijeg. As were Fainish, my own sunshine. Ach Bael Yau and Milia Blina, Rawe Aura Sachna Din. The 1979 Millennium of Tinwood celebration attracted the attention of a Norwegian writer, Jon Lærfull, who enjoyed what he found when he visited the island and published a book in Norwegian about the island and its history. Professor Angela Little is a board member of Culture Vannen, and it was through one of her academic connections that the opportunity came to do something with the book, as she outlined at the launch.
The book came to me via a former academic colleague of mine called John Lauglo, and he was a colleague of mine in the Department of International and Comparative Education some years ago at the University of London. And I visited him and his family in Norway some years ago, and he actually showed me this book in Norwegian, and it does have some photographs, and I mean, I enjoyed the photographs, but of course I couldn't understand anything, but we talked about the book a little bit, and then nothing happened for about 15 to 20 years. And then just earlier this year, John contacted me and said, look, I'm clearing out my library and books, and I've come across this book by Jon Lærfull. And the book was given by John to my father. They were great friends. And of course, when my father died, I inherited his library. So the book is now with me. But he said, I thought that both I and my father would like to think that this book could be returned to the Isle of Man. And I thought that was very touching, but of course I don't speak any Norwegian. The book, as we mentioned, was it's written by Jon Lærfull. It's called A Thousand Years in Man. So I had a copy of this book, and I didn't really know what to do with it. And then just by chance, one evening, I was at a Pobble Christmas dinner down at the Shore Hotel in Guernsey, and I didn't know Jennifer very well. She was sitting a few places away from me, but I overheard her talking about Norwegian, not in Norwegian, but it's one of her many, many languages. And so we got chatting, and I told her about the book, and I said, would you like to read it? So I passed it on to her, and in no time at all, she sent me an English translation of the book. And I thought this was quite incredible, but she was obviously very taken by the book and enchanted by it, and I think she works very, very quickly. So then we came up with this idea that maybe Culture Vannen could publish the English translation of the book, which is what we've done and what we've launched this evening. I just think it's a rather nice thing to do, to translate from other languages books about the Isle of Man, because I suspect that what Jon Lærfull has written, the things that he's focused on, may have been somewhat different from some of the history that perhaps a Manx author would focus on. And also, we do have a rather interesting cover on the book with a map of Scotland and Ireland and the Isle of Man, but it's presented in a rather unusual way. So when they spot this book in the bookshops and in the museum, A Thousand Years in Man, they might like to study the map and just work it out for themselves. my friend John Lauglow, was a man in his mid-70s and a great walker, a great rambler across the Norwegian mountains. It, to all intents and purposes, a very fit man. And we had planned to co-write the preface for the book, so he was beginning to think about that, and I was too. And then Culture Vannen was also thinking about the project, and at its board meeting approved a budget for the printing of the book. And I was on the point of sending him an email to let him know that the project was going to go through, the book would be published. And on the following day, I received an email to say that he had died, very unexpectedly, during a rather routine operation. So it was a great shock to everybody, and John actually never knew that finally the book was going to come to fruition. But I know that he would have been absolutely delighted to know that Culture Vannen has produced the book and that Jennifer's done all this wonderful work. Culture Vannen will be giving several copies of the book to the Manx Museum Library, but I will also pass to the library the original book in Norwegian, so that both the English and the Norwegian versions can sit together on the shelf.
Professor Angela Little, a board member of Culture Vannen and the person responsible for bringing forward the project to publish a translation of Jon Lærfugl's. Jon Lærfugl's book has now been translated from the Norwegian by Dr. Jennifer Culey Draskau. Jennifer told Phil Gorn and Bob Carswell something about her work on Jon Lærfugl's book and about two other books in Norwegian which she brought with her.
This is a book called Politiken Oppermann, which is 1,000 years in man, and it's written by a Norwegian politician, apparently a very highly respected and well-known politician, according to my Norwegian spies, called Jon Lærfugl, now sadly deceased and no longer with us. But he wrote this book about the Isle of Man, which had exerted a certain fascination over him. And actually, I was at a Pobble dinner with in the company of Professor Angela Little, and she said, "By the way, do you speak Norwegian?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "I like Norwegian better than anything." And she said, "Well, I've got this book that's been written by a Norwegian politician and given to me by a friend and colleague of mine, former colleague of mine. I wonder if you'd look at it." And I said, "Oh, I'd like to do that." She said, "It's about the Isle of Man." I said, "Oh, that'd be lovely, better still." So her colleague, and Angela's colleague, sent it to me, her colleague, Jon Lærfugl, and I looked at it and I thought, this is really, really interesting to see somebody else's bird's eye view of the Isle of Man, because sometimes you can get a little bit inward looking, particularly in an insular society. You can just be looking at ourselves, to see ourselves from outside, from the Norwegian viewpoint. I thought that was very fascinating, so I thought, oh, I'll give this a go, and Angela won't be able to read it in Norwegian, so I'll put it in English for her. And I thought nothing of it, really. I think I was having lunch with Brisha, and I said, "This is 150 pages. You print it out, because if I print it out, my printer's going to go spare and hit the roof." And I said, "You've got a massive great printer there. You print it out and give it to Angela." So she did that, and I thought nothing more of it. And then Culture Vannen decided that they liked it and that thought it was that people would be interested. I was certainly interested enough to do it, you know, just like that, spontaneously. And I think it's always interesting to see other people's views of us.
You were mentioning about your mother and the visit of a Norwegian warship.
Wasn't that amazing? Yes, yes, he was the captain of the Haakonshivene, which is Haakon the Seventh, and it was in Scotland, it was in Edinburgh, and my dad was in charge of something very important in naval, and we were all in the line. When he came to my mother, the Norwegian captain, he said, "Madam, I want you to accept my most heartfelt apologies." And my mother said, "But Captain..." She had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, "You are a Manx woman." And she said, "I am indeed." And he said, "I wish to apologize to you for what my ancestors did in your beautiful island." And my mother said, Well, my mother was a Corkel, so I'm probably as bad as you, because she knew the derivation of the name Corkel, which comes from MacTorquetil, and obviously somebody called Torquetil was going to be a Viking. Wherever you go in Scandinavia today, that name Tor is still alive very much. I mean, it is in Scotland, in Torquil, of course, as you will know, but you will meet a Torra and a Tormund and a Tormod and a Torleif and a Torkelson everywhere you go in Scandinavia. So, you know, the name of Tor, the element, is still very much present in people's names.
Norwegian. Tell us a little bit about the Norwegian language.
Well, Norwegian is one of the Scandinavian languages, of course, in common with Swedish and Danish. When the Håkon the Seventh came to Edinburgh, I probably fell in love with a Norwegian briefly, and decided to learn Norwegian. So I purchased various books and I listened to people talking Norwegian. And then I married a Dane, because the Norwegian escaped. I married a Dane. And the languages are, they're pretty close. Of the three, people say Danish is a disease of the throat, and Norwegian is a song.
Right.
And Swedish makes sense, although it's much slower. I don't know, I've always liked Norwegian, and I've liked the sounds that Norwegian makes. It's faster, I think, than either Danish or Swedish in most cases, and I don't know how I don't really know how I learnt it, but it is close enough to Danish, you know, which is one of the languages that I work most in. Mm. Obviously, having Danish children and being married to a Dane and having lived there for God knows how many years. I suppose that facilitated my access to Norwegian, but I like the sound of Norwegian better than I like the sound of Danish, but don't tell that to any Danish people, because it's a very rude thing to say, and I'm sorry.
My knowledge of the Scandinavian period in these islands is partly, anyway, derived from reading the sagas, which are incredible things. Donald Trump, I think, might feel at home in the sagas, in that kind of exaggerated way of talking that they have. But does that influence what's in this book at all? Or?
It's very difficult to say. It's not really a book about the Isle of Man as it might or might not feature in the sagas. I only mentioned the sagas tonight in connection with a journey in an aged motorboat made by the late Brian Stoll, and sadly missed, by the way, and Fenella Bazin, who would be here tonight, but she's cruising the Mediterranean. Some people do anything to get away from the Manx weather. And we were off the coast of Canada, and we were escorted by a saga scholar called Sigurdur from Iceland, because many Icelanders are called Sigurdur. And he told us about, he said if you could see through that mist there, you would see the site where a boatload of Vikings took on what the Vikings used to call Skrellinger, which was a rather dismissive term for the indigenous peoples, implying rather disorganized people without many clothes, with homemade weapons and war hoops, and of great belligerence, you know, who didn't accept Viking rule or the supremacy of Vikings who came in a boat. And he recounted this saga, which to me was new, because I hadn't read that particular saga, about how it was in our own Battle of Sandwood. Mm. The women waded in because the men were getting the worst of it,
yeah.
The Viking men, because they were only a boatload and the Skrellinger were many. And so they ran out and they lifted up their garments, and I must say they revealed themselves to the Skrellinger, who were so horrified by the spectacle that they fled howling into the bushes and dropped their weapons, and the Vikings carried the day. And I thought that was a wonderful story, and so did we all. You know, we were quite fortified by Icelandic snaps by this time. We thought this was a wonderful tale. And this tale does actually occur in the sagas. It's one of the sagas about Leif Erikson, who is said to, well, he didn't, when you say he discovered America, I mean, obviously the indigenous peoples were living in America, so he discovered it from a Western point of view. It, you know, it wasn't Columbus or anybody else. It was the Vikings, and it was Leif Erikson, who sailed from Bergen, probably. And his sister Freydis was among him, was among his crew, and she and the other women were the ones who revealed themselves to the horror of the Skrellinger, which is interesting because it proves that women sailed with the Vikings.
Yeah.
And this was a raid. This wasn't settlement. This was to sort of to take land and grab it and murder whoever you came across. And he called it Vineland the Beautiful to encourage people to go and stay there, in much the same way as when they discovered Greenland, which of course was fairly inhospitable at most times of the year. Mm. They called it Greenland because then people would think it was green and fertile and a good place to go and do settlements. And
it was interesting that the map on the front of the book is the right way up, it's as opposed to the wrong way up, which is the way we're used to, south at the top and north at the bottom, because, of course, that's the way the Vikings would have approached the Isle of Man. And interestingly, Angus MacNeill, the MP for the Western Isles, he's got a map in his office of the Western Isles at the centre of several islands and continents. And again, it's about perspective. You know, as far as he's concerned, he lives in the centre of this particular area. Most people looking at maps of the UK and British Isles would see them living in the extremities. However, where he lives on the Isle of Barra, the Faroe Islands aren't that far north, and then you've got Iceland and Greenland and Norway and all these other places which are quite closely linked.
But this is a common thing, isn't it? Because think of the number of places in the Isle of Man called Ballymenagh, the central place, and think of the name for China, which it means the central country. Because to them, China is the middle of the world. Everything else is peripheral. So I think it's quite a common phenomenon that.
You've mentioned three books in Norwegian that you've been working on. Is this a project to translate from Norwegian?
Well, if they ask me to do it, I'll do it. Because I love Norwegian. If they, you know, if someone comes along and says, translate this from Norwegian, I'll do it. But I like Norwegian. The other two came my way. One is about women in the sagas, written by a female Norwegian writer, and she revisits many of the events that we know from the sagas, but obviously she fictionalizes them and fleshes them out for us. Gunhild Haugnes, her name is. She is a feminist and a Norwegian woman writer, and she picks up on the names of women in the sagas and fleshes out their experiences, because normally in the sagas you're just somebody's wife or mother or sister or concubine or something. You're not a person who has sort of real life experiences, and this is what she wanted to prove. And the other book, by Egil Moore, his name is, he has based a lot of the action around Ronaldsway and Castle Rushen and St. John's, where we are today. And he's fascinated with the Isle of Man too, and I find that interesting because we're fascinated with the Vikings, aren't we, a little bit? Just as we are with the Celts, indeed.
Good night, Moore.
Navre, navre.
Dr. Jennifer Cooley Draskow at the launch of her book, A Thousand Years in Man, a translation from the Norwegian of a book first published in 1979 by Jon Lærfull. She Bengal Anje in Vuorain Injinach, as Ege Tre Torn, Te Rain Ed Bangladesh, Red Ta De Rein Jay in Echt and Alai, as India as in Trin Ella Orn. Uns der Hausen is Nenjeg, for everyone fobble uns Bengal, ulit de ve mush der hidelie million, ker de ve Nenjeina an and smooth clanet sa tail. Uns a tui as a hia, ta Kelgen on, goils jack Kelgen fliai bericher, a savain ta erd clare kail jack on. Uns a hia jas, tan kail mangro smooth sa tail, red tan tiger Bengal kummel. As uns the hiajas to try slurus a tail and bazar cox. An island resident with Bengali heritage is involved in a project in which some of the work of Nobel Prize winning polymath Rabindranath Tagore is being translated into different languages of the world. Here she is to tell us something about herself and her project.
My name is Sravanti Mazumdar. And I come from Calcutta, actually, India. And I came here to the island, actually. I'd never heard of Isle of Man before, but my husband brought me here. In fact, we got married here in 94 in Castle Rushen. We got married there. And we fell in love with this island, and we decided to be here, to live here. But because I didn't find anything for myself to do, and so I went to London I took a job with Charterhouse in Southwark for them. I was the health project manager for Bangladeshi women. But the funding finished in 6 months' time. And BBC World at that time, the Bengali language section, they came to know about me, that I was there, because they knew me as Sravanti, as a singer, for a long time. So they asked me if I would be interested. And they also knew I was a broadcaster. I've been broadcasting for a long time. So they asked me, the editor asked me, whether I would be interested to be a broadcast journalist. I said, but I've never done news, because in India, only national agencies can do news, like All India Radio or Doordarshan, which is the television, national television. Only they were allowed at that time to do the news. Now, of course, private channels can do the news. So I never did news, but I always loved news. So they said, that's no problem. So I went and I worked for them for 6 years. And in between, of course, we used to come back and go back. And after 6 years, we came back, because I decided to go to India as frequently as possible and pursue my career, because my career is there as a singer, as a broadcaster, and producing things for television and radio, which I did. Because I was trained in classical music, I could sing other songs and it was easier for me. And I also learned Tagore, Rabindranath Tagore, our national poet. And Tagore is very big in India, especially in Bengal, because he was a Bengali and from Calcutta. So for the last 2 years, I have been thinking of doing something here. This is my adopted country. So I thought, this is the time I should give back something that I know, I believe in. And I was thinking, what can I do? And I thought Tagore will be the best, Rabindranath Tagore. He is the first non-European awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1913. And so I thought, maybe, because he was somebody who was a reformer, social reformer, environmentalist, champion of women's rights, and so many things in one. And in fact, his father sent him to England for formal education at school. He went to a public school, but he never liked, you know, this traditional way of teaching. So he was taught at home. But his father wanted him to become a barrister. So he sent him to the University College in London to study law, but he dropped out. And on his own, he started studying Shakespeare. He loved it. And once he learned the essence of English, Irish and Scottish literature and music, he returned to India. So, you know, if you listen to Tagore, you will see a lot of songs, his influence of this English and Irish and Scottish influence very much there in his composition. Because he was not only a poet, he was a composer, he was a short story writer, novelist, he was a philosopher. I mean, you just name it. And he started painting at the age of 60. And so it was so interesting. Then I thought, if I can, and he believed in one world. And he always wanted to spread his ideology all over the world. And he did it. He started touring, tour of friendship, tour of, and the lecture tours he did. And Mahatma Gandhi was a friend of his, a very close friend. Not necessarily he always agreed with Gandhi's political views, but they were good friends. So all these things, you know, I started reading and I started thinking, if I can do something like Tagore, he wrote 2,500 songs. And there are, I mean, so many, whether it is integration or it is freedom fighters, freedom movement, or it is nature or love, you just name it. And folk, he was very much influenced by folk music. So I thought, why don't I try Tagore in Bengali and Manx? So that is what is my next project, which I am dreaming, and probably I will be doing soon. I will start to do, I'm thinking of in the new year, and my project of Tagore, conversation with Tagore, it will be in Celtic and Bengali, of course. So let's see how it goes.
Shravanti and her project to sing some of the songs of Rabindranath Tagore in the Manx language. Tashen Kurleshin does Jeren Hermach Shorje Shakler. That's it from Shakler this time. So from me, Marilyn Crellin, Voam Marilyn Crellin, Sledden You.